minutes past 11. Zach Gelb here with you on The Fan. The Yankees have put out their lineup for today. Yankees baseball will come your way at 1 o'clock here on WFAN today as they try to win this series up against the Rockies. Gleyber Torres, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Jazz Chisholm Jr., Anthony Volpe, Trevino, Verdugo, LeMahieu back in the lineup, and then Stroman will be on the mound. And I also just saw a news item which has a New York twist to it. The former Jet quarterback, Mike White, has been released by the Miami Dolphins. Remember when people thought Mike White was the guy in New York? That's how bad the Jets quarterback situation has been for so many years. But now there's a lot of positivity, because even though last year it was supposed to be all about Aaron Rodgers, we know he got hurt. Four plays into the season, Aaron Rodgers is back for gangrene, and there's some high expectations in this town for the JETS Jets. Let's welcome in Mark Schlereth right now. Mark, of course, the former NFL offense lineman, won three Super Bowls, and is going to be debuting a new morning show on Fox with our old friend Craig Carden and also Danny Parkins called Breakfast Ball. So, Mark, congratulations. Thanks for doing this, and how you been?
I've been great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's going to be fun. We start tomorrow. We're this coming week, we're on from noon to 2, but our normal slot will be 8 to 10 in the morning. So looking forward to the new opportunity, looking forward to, you know, spending my time in New York. It's going to be kind of crazy, keeping my house in Denver and just kind of crisscrossing the countryside. I told my wife, after 24 years of me traveling to do games and studio stuff, it is now her opportunity to travel. So she's going to be the one on the plane, and I'll be the one, you know, hunkered down. So it'll be good.
Well, that's awesome. Congratulations. Really happy for you. And I know you've been around a bunch of offensive linemen, obviously, you being an offensive lineman. So I'm sure you guys have seen people eat more than what anyone could actually imagine. Get ready, though, for Craig Carden, because you're going to be gaining at least 15 extra pounds working with him.
Yeah, I am trying. I've been working out so much. I've been lifting so hard, and I put on so much weight in the off season, and I have been trying to trim down here because even before this show came up, like a month and a half ago, I put on a suit, and I'm telling you what, my suit pants were like yoga pants, for crying. I look like I was smuggling in a yo-yo. So I was like, hey, you know what? It is time to actually drop a few pounds here. So I've been diligently working on that. But yeah, Greg Carden, I know he's the Prince of New York, for crying out loud. He's more connected than anybody I know.
Well, when he did the morning show here, you'd have lox, you'd have bagels, you'd have cream cheese, whitefish, tuna fish. He would even get wohop Chinese food. And then yeah. I was around here when he did afternoons. There was one Thanksgiving, he just threw the printers on the ground and brought in his own carving station and served the entire newsroom. So if you're trying to lose weight, Mark, you may want a new co-host.
Yeah, right. Probably not going to work well. So anyhow, I'll just try to be disciplined, as disciplined as I can be.
Mark Schlereth here with us. All righty, let's talk a little Jets. Rodgers now, hopefully going to get through the entire season. What are your expectations for the great Aaron Rodgers coming off the Achilles injury a year ago?
Listen, that guy, I mean, the dude is a freak show. The dude, obviously, he's an incredible quarterback. He's one of the best we've ever witnessed. His ability to throw off platform, his ability to control the offense, his connection with Nathaniel Hackett, who, like much maligned Nathaniel Hackett. But those two have this kindred spirit about one another. And I think one of the things, it just keeps Rodgers kind of entertained. And, you know, football's got to be fun. Because you get beat up, you get beat down, you know, things don't go the way you want them to. If you're not having fun, it can be a miserable job. And that's the voice of experience, right? And people always look at the money and all that stuff. But when you're not playing well, your team's not playing well, you know, comes November and it's gray and drizzly and, you know, everybody's against you. It becomes a really tough job, you know, and nobody wants to hear that, but it is. And just to have that kind of fun, that atmosphere to win, I really like the team they've assembled. Nobody would argue the Jets have a great defense, and they do. They are top-notch defensively at all three levels of their defense. Offensive line, they've addressed some of that, but Rodgers will make up for a lot of that. Like today's game, and this is interesting, today's game, and I've said this for a year now, and it was funny because Sean Payton just texted me this exact same thing that I've been saying for a year, that sacks are no longer really an offensive line statistic. they're really a quarterback statistic in today's game. The ball's out of your hand in 2.4 seconds. So when you think about a pass rusher, if I'm lined up at guard and you're a defensive tackle and you beat me clean, meaning I whiff and it's a five-step shotgun snap drop, right? It takes about 1.7 seconds to get to the quarterback. Well, the ball's out in two and a half seconds in today's game, the short passing game, the underneath passing game, the bubble screens, all those things. So when you really effectively think about it, like, it is really hard to produce sack numbers against a quarterback who really knows what he's doing. And that's what the Jets have in Aaron Rodgers. So I fully expect, not only with the additions on the offensive line, but I expect the offensive line to be much better because they have a competent quarterback running things.
Where's your confidence level, Mark Schlereth, with the coach in Robert Saleh?
I think Robert's a hell of a motivator. I think Robert's a hell of a defensive football coach. I actually think Robert's a great man and a really good coach. I think offensively, you have to have the right people in place. You have to have the right philosophical approach. And obviously, probably more than any other thing that you have to have, you got to have a competent quarterback. You got to have a guy that stands in the huddle and exudes confidence. And if you don't have that in today's game, it's just really, really hard to win. You know, and it's really hard. See, the issue that I get into with offense in today's game is that running the ball becomes like, it becomes secondary. Like, you could have a real crap quarterback, right? And you decide, hey, man, we're really going to, you know, we're really going to focus on running the ball. And then you hand it off three times and you get 2 yards of carry. And you throw up your hands and go, screw it, we can't run. But you'll let your crappy quarterback throw seven incompletions in a row and you won't even think twice about it. It's just bad coaching. So running the ball is a skill. Russ Grimm said this in his retirement speech. There is no greater skill than moving a man from point A to point B against his will. There's no greater skill in football. And I always try to impress upon people the difficulty of doing that. Because when you look and an offensive line collectively, we are collectively, by a long margin, the worst athletes on a football team. The worst. And every time we line up, we're lining up against a guy that's the same size, that has the same strength, but is exponentially a better athlete than we are. And tell me this, where in any other sport, is the guy who's a less athlete lined up against a better athlete, and that guy is expected to win 100% of the battles? When I block you, we have 65 plays. I could kick your ass for 64 of them. If I give up one sack, I had a bad game, and you go to the Pro Bowl. And that's the life of an offensive lineman. And so people, and the problem that we get into in the league is, I think, respecting, and this is a problem nationwide in any walk of life. You have to develop empathy and an understanding for other people's plight and other people's issues and how hard the game is. And there's no harder position, save quarterback, than playing offensive line.
Mark Schlereth here with us. Flipping to the other side of the ball to talk about some of those defensive players. You know, the Jets have a ton of them that are great, with Quinnen Williams and Quincy Williams, Sauce Gardner. But the guy that's been missing ever since getting traded from the Eagles is Hassan Reddick, who is not only holding out but has requested a trade. What do you think ends up happening here with Hassan Reddick and the Jets? As the Jets said, they will not trade him.
Yeah, well, which is really interesting. I don't know the whole inside. I haven't lived here. I just showed up a couple days ago, and so I've just kind of followed it from afar. And of course, I'm living in Denver, doing a local show in Denver, so we focus most of our attention to the Broncos and what's going on there, but. One of the things that happens during trades is that there's this almost unwritten rule that when you get traded, it comes with a new contract. And so I don't know what the inside scoop is with Hassan and with the Jets and what the parameters of that trade were and what the discussions were. I'm not privy to that inside information, but I'll just give you a for instance. Jerry Jeudy got traded from the Broncos to the Cleveland Browns. Jerry Jeudy has been a disappointment in Denver, being the 15th overall pick and having all the talent in the world and not really having any production. And as soon as he got traded, he got the bag in Cleveland. And that's kind of one of those unwritten rules. So I don't know the whole inside, and I don't know what was said, but obviously there's a discrepancy there between Hassan and Hassan's people and the New York Jets. And I guess my concern would be this, that that's kind of the unwritten rule. And from a player standpoint, inside a locker room, they will always side with the player because that's kind of the way things have gone. Could that be a recipe for some discourse within the locker room between upstairs and downstairs? I don't know, but that, you know, that's how those things start. So it'll be interesting to see exactly how the Jets and how Hassan Reddick and his people remedy the situation.
Yeah, and the Reddick camp, and I know Hassan since we were college classmates together at Temple, they have their story, the Jets have their story, so there's probably some truth on both sides, but the fact is, Mark Schlereth, he has 50 and a half sacks since 2020. The Jets are in win-now mode because you may have Rodgers for, what, another year or two? I don't care what it takes. They got to find the way to get his butt on the field. They could still win without him, but that defense goes from great to even better if you put a Hassan Reddick going after the quarterback.
And I will just tell you, you know, having followed him with the Eagles when, you know, he was under Jonathan Gannon, and then to follow him over, I think he went over to Arizona with Jonathan Gannon. Did he go back to Arizona? I'm not sure.
No. He got drafted by Arizona.
Yeah, he got drafted to Arizona. He went to the Eagles, that's right, with Jonathan Gannon. Jonathan Gannon went to Arizona. I was talking to him about Hassan Reddick. But anyhow, He has really excelled in that defense, and they have found like the perfect spot and the perfect because he's such a, like, he'll drop, he'll do a lot of things off the edge. He's become a real complete edge player. And if you remember early in his career, I think they tried to make him a middle linebacker and he was atrocious. And
yeah, they didn't use him the right way in Arizona. It was crazy.
Right. And so now they've really found kind of the quote unquote formula. And he does a lot of things off the edge. He can be a dominant run blocker, but he is a phenomenal edge rusher. And let's face it, I mean, when you're talking about cornerstone positions in the National Football League, you got to have a quarterback, you got to have tackles that can play, you got to have edge rushers. What do we always say? One corner can take away one receiver. A pass rush can take away all the receivers. And that's what that guy gives you. He gives you a phenomenal ability to get after the quarterback off the edge.
Last thing I'll ask you, just squeeze in the Giants here for a second, Mark Schlereth. I go into this year thinking this will be the last year for Daniel Jones as the starting quarterback for the Giants. I know they improved the offensive line. There's still big questions on it. You get him a Malik Nabers in the draft. Do you have any hope for Daniel Jones, or you kind of think this will be it for him in New York?
I think for Daniel Jones doesn't feel like he's ever going to truly progress as a pocket guy to me. Now, he's an exceptional, like, runaround athlete. And when they went to the playoffs a couple of years ago, I did a bunch of Giants games and became very friendly with Brian Daboll. They, like, when they were running all the boot keep stuff and all the design quarterback run and the play action RPO stuff that comes off of that, I thought Daniel Jones played really well, really well. But, you know, I think as they tried to transition some last year back to more of a pocket scheme, I just don't think that's his real skill set. I think, you know, getting him on the edge, eliminate half the field, creating linear progression so they're right in his eyes. Like, I think he's more of a sight thrower than anticipatory thrower. And to be a great pocket guy, you have to be an anticipatory thrower. So getting outside the pocket allows you to be more of a sight thrower and have more of that, you know, kind of success doing that. So I just don't think that's who he is. And with the injury history, you know, he's had the neck injury, the stingers a couple of times. Now he's coming off the ACL. Are you going to put him kind of in quote-unquote harm's way? I'm with you. I think, hey, nice guy, you know, it was worth the experiment or worth the draft pick or whatever, however you want to put it. But I just don't think he's your long-term answer at the quarterback position. My feelings, you know, they may feel differently, but I doubt that they do.
Mark, appreciate the time today. I know you're enjoying New York as you moved here. I saw you at the Yankee game the other day, and good luck with everything that's cooking over at FS1.
Appreciate it, man. Take care, buddy.
You got it. There he is, Mark Schlereff, joining us for a few moments. Zach Gelb here with you on the Fan. We'll take a time out. When we come on back, we got to talk about the Jets and what are the fair expectations for Gangrene this year.